So this scripture is a very familiar scripture. I'm sure quite a few of you have heard it. And in the grand scheme of life, I would say this is one of the hardest commandments that Jesus has ever given us. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. Now, I want anyone to raise their hand if there's anyone here who has never been troubled or never been afraid. It doesn't happen, does it? It is a part of who we are. And I think it's so easy to say, but hard to do. Don't let your hearts be troubled. We look at the world around us. We see pain. We see wars starting for no reason. We see the price of inflation. We see people struggling who have not struggled before. They are real struggles that are right in front of us. Neighbors who are having to use our community pantry because it's the first time that their money doesn't stretch as far as it has in the past. So there are things that trouble our minds. And if you're like me, I'm a natural worrier. I'm the kind of person who wakes up at 5 o'clock and remembers everything they haven't done and has to have a notebook beside me because I need to write it down. And the what ifs at times will build up in our lives. What if I get ill? What if I can't pay the bills? What if I said something wrong in that conversation? What if I did a wrong action? And I didn't mean it? And all of these things build up in our hearts and our minds. And sometimes we can go through scenarios in our minds and they work up into something they never should have been. So there are many things that trouble our hearts and worry us. Yet the Lord says, do not be troubled. So if we put this into context, Jesus is saying this knowing that he's going to the cross. He's speaking to his disciples. He knows what he is going to face in the next few hours, few days. He knows that he is going to die a cruel death upon the cross. And he is telling his disciples, be at peace. So Jesus is coming from a context where he knows how to find that peace in God. He has every reason to be worried and afraid. But instead of being afraid, he shows them how to love each other, how to serve one another. He washes their feet. So many times in life, our hearts get troubled. And I'm sure each of us have faced so many things. And I know throughout my life, in the years that I've served the Lord, he has never, ever let me down. I don't mean that it's been easy. It wouldn't have been easy for Peter, as he heard, if you could imagine what was going through Peter's mind when he heard that cock crow, after what Jesus had said to him, how disappointed he must have been, and how much of a failure he must have felt. Although we do know that later on Jesus restored him by saying, Peter, do you love me? Jesus didn't give up on him even when Peter denied him. The Lord keeps breaking through and saying, just trust me and it will be okay. I like the analogy of basically being in the eye of the storm. Sometimes if we can find that place of peace, we can be in the eye of the storm. The whole storm can rage around us. Things can go flying. The world can fall apart. But yet our heart is anchored in Christ. And when it's anchored in Christ, we can find a peace in the midst of the pain. It doesn't mean that the pain won't come, but it means we can find an anchor in it, knowing that Christ is with us. And how do we do that? Well, there's 7 words that Jesus says to us in this scripture. He says, believe in God, believe also in me. Believe in God, believe also in me. That belief, that trust is the essence of our faith. Trust is the key. Just as it was for the disciples, Jesus had told them what was going to happen, and he asked them to believe in him. That trust in him, even when we don't understand the circumstances around him, we need him in our lives. We need him now and we need him in the future. We need to be able to trust our future to him. I often use this scripture in funerals, and for good reason. because it is the amazing promise that we have from the Lord, that when we depart this life, that he is ready for us. The rooms are plentiful, and Jesus and the Father are ready to welcome us when our time comes. We don't have to go alone. There is nothing to fear. Not only does he prepare a place for us, but he promises, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. He has prepared that place for us, and he's willing to show us the way and bring us to himself. And then Jesus said something that has caused arguments over many thousands of years. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. When we look at our faith as Christians, that is what we believe. Just as we say in almost every service, we say the words of the creed, that we believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God, but a triune God. We believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. That is our Easter message. And if we truly believe this, then we understand that Jesus is the way to God. He is the only one who died and rose again. No one else could have sacrificed themselves for our sins, as no one else has lived a perfect life. It is only Jesus who could pay that price. This is how God fulfilled his promise to us. He gave us his Son, who sacrificed himself that we might know life and salvation and be reconciled to God. And we do this through Jesus. This is our way to God. And his final promise in this passage is that if we can believe in him, if we can trust him in our lives, then he says in verse 13 and 14, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you in my name ask for anything, I will do it. Now, I don't know about you. I was just talking to the ladies, and I said, I'm really glad that at times God has not answered my prayers the way I wanted him to, because I think I would have totally messed up my life. You know, we think what we want. We think, you know, this is exactly how I want you to do it, God, and I pray that you do it this way. And then, you know, to be quite honest, when you get through that problem, you realize that if he did it your way, you would have been totally messed up. But because he answered his way and showed us the way to do it rightly, we have him to thank for all that he has done in our lives. You know, I was saying as a younger person, you know, God, I really, really want to marry that man. I really love him. He's really great. He's really wonderful. He'd be perfect for me. And God said, no. It's like, but no, God, you don't understand. He would be the right person for me. I know he would. And God said, no. And I look back now and I think, yeah, he was right. God gave me Charlie and I'm very blessed to have him. But, you know, in the moment, so often we think we know the answer to everything and we don't. But God does. So if we seek him with all of our heart, if we seek him and ask him, God, what is it you want to do in our lives? How do you want us to work this through? What can I do in order to get through this difficulty in your name and glorify you and be strong in it? And then he will answer in a way that is always, always best for us. He always has our best in mind. So as we celebrate our newly crowned king here in the UK and the Commonwealth, let us not forget to trust in our heavenly king, who is the one who loves us unconditionally. Let us go with grace, with the grace of God, remembering what Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and believe also in me. Amen.